yesterday I used the lame excuse to knock outside and finish raking up the leaves that, well, here you don't want me to go out and get sick because it's kind of raining. So I did, stayed inside and just kind of goofed around all day, and I woke up this morning sick. So, I guess I should have gone out and raked the leaves, because now I'm going to have to do it in the snow. So, but then, if I get pneumonia, I won't feel sorry for me. So, yeah, there's a positive side. One of the things that I just think that every year we need to do, and that is not set aside one day a week, Thanksgiving Day, or one day a year for giving thanks to the Lord or focusing on that. We're going to take the whole month of November to do that. And every sermon that I'm going to preach, there's only three of them actually before Thanksgiving, but it's going to be about Thanksgiving. It's going to be about giving thanks to God, being grateful, to having gratitude for what God has done for us, because I fully believe we do not do that enough, that we don't realize what it is that God has done for us, that we don't express to Him our thanks. I think we say those words a lot of the time, but I'm not sure we really have anything behind them when we say them. Do we really appreciate God and what He has done for us? You know, in the book of James writes in there that every good gift comes from above. Every good gift. Everything that is good in your life is from God. Everything. You know, I'm not just talking about the things that we quote or say are spiritual. You know, because a lot of times we like to make separations. Well, this is spiritual and this is my normal way of life. Well, without God, your normal way of life would not exist. There would be nothing outside of you know, it's all from God. Your health, your ability to work, your ability to think, your ability to produce, your ability to, you know, to get up and walk. All these things are gifts from God, and we need to be thankful. And so, for the month of November, we are going to focus on being thankful. And I warned you earlier, not today, but earlier this, maybe last week, or that we are going to be sharing each Sunday. We're going to have, I don't know why, we just kind of like to let you folks sit and not really minister to one another, but you have just as much ability to minister to one another as the pastors do to you. So you're going to get the opportunity to talk, not before the sermon, but after the sermon, between the sermon and communion, for the Lord's table. You're going to have time to just give thanks to the Lord and to be vocal about it. And because I believe we need to do that, and maybe we should even just do this every Sunday, not just Thanksgiving or the November month. And so, because Thanksgiving is mentioned in the Bible, Old Testament, New Testament, it's mentioned many, many, many times. And today we're going to look at the book of Colossians. And in the book of Colossians, Paul has seven verses in there that mention Thanksgiving. Colossians is not a very big book. And but there are seven times that he talks about giving thanks or thanksgiving and or being gracious. The first one is in Colossians chapter 1, verse 3, where it says, "We give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you." Now, in this case, Paul is talking about being thankful for the Christians at Corinth. At Colossae. And so they're right there. It tells us we need to be thankful for one another, for our brothers and sisters in the Lord, for our family. It's important that we do that. And then in Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 and 12, Paul writes, "For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience, joyously giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light." We're here because of God the Father. It's not our own doing. It's not our own strength, our own desire. We're here because of God, and we need to be thankful that we are part of the family, that he has qualified us to be part of his family. Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7 says, "Therefore, as you have received Jesus Christ from the Lord, so walk in him, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed, and overflowing with gratitude." Overflowing with gratitude. Not just thankful, but overflowing. I mean, it's like your cup overfloweth, and you are so thankful. And then last one before we get to our main text is in Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. It says, "Devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving." With an attitude of thanksgiving. And that alone is, I could spend a lot of time on just that verse alone. But we're going to focus on three consecutive verses in chapter 3. Because three times in three consecutive verses in chapter 3, Paul mentions thanksgiving. And that's what we're going to look at today. And I want you to kind of listen to this and to be thinking, what am I thankful for? What am I thankful for? And I'm going to give you some ideas. And hopefully that will even spark some more ideas. And I'm not asking or thinking that you're going to stand up and give me a 5-minute perfectly prepared speech on what you're thankful for. I'm just thinking of, you'll stand up and say, I'm thankful for the snow. You better be, because it's going to come whether you want it or not. Or I'm thankful for air, or I'm thankful, something like that. We're going to kind of keep it, but we are going to do some sharing. And so hopefully what we're looking at here is going to prime you. Now our main passage of scripture, the three main verses that we're going to focus on this morning, are in Colossians chapter 3, verses 15 through 17. Colossians chapter 3 through verses 15 through 17. And it reads like this: "Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and with hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father." Let's pray. Father, even if we were to sit here all able to think of everything that you do for us. We would not be able to recall every blessing that you have poured out on us. We would not even really be able to comprehend what you've done for us. Lord, you have so richly blessed us. We need to be people of thanks, who give the glory to you, who raise our songs of praise and thanksgiving and adoration to you. Father, as we look at this passage of Scripture, I pray that through the power of your Spirit, Lord, you would bring to our minds something that we can be thankful for. Lord, it even seems odd to say that because there are so many things there, and yet, Lord, oftentimes we are so consumed with things that are not going right in our life that we forget about your hand of grace and of mercy and of strength and of power and of healing that we experience all through our lives. Father, speak to us through your word, through your Holy Spirit today. Show us what it is that you want us to gain from this passage of Scripture. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as we look at this passage of Scripture, I'm sorry that I'm sounding kind of muted, but that's just where I'm at today as far as my throat goes. I'm going to be able to make it through to the end. So we're looking at this passage of Scripture, and the first thing that we want to look at is the peace of Christ and being thankful. The peace that we have in Christ Jesus and being thankful. Because Colossians 3:15 says, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful." Right there, we look at it and say, well, what is Paul talking about? Well, he's talking about the peace that we can know in our life. It's a peace that does not come from a strong government. It does not come from being well situated. It does not come from being healthy. It does not come from living in a free country, or even if it were, and it never will be, but even if it were living in a time of total peace in our world, that is not what Paul is talking about here. He's talking about the peace that only comes by having that personal relationship with Christ Jesus. And when you have that relationship with Christ Jesus, you have a peace that the world doesn't understand, that no one can really figure out. But you have a peace that as the Bible says, transcends any understanding. And it's a peace that people will kind of scratch their heads out, and it's kind of like they'll look at you and say, well, why are you so calm? You shouldn't be. Just look at what's going on around you. You know, it's this peace that we have, and we're to let it rule in our hearts, and we are to be thankful. We are to be thankful. Because part of this being thankful is we acknowledge that the peace that we have in our hearts comes from God. It's not a peace that we have on our own. It's not like, oh yes, I'm going to be at peace with myself today. No, that doesn't work. It's a peace that only comes from God, and if we let it rule our heart, we will truly live lives of peace, regardless of what's going on around us. But the key is we need to be thankful about it. We need to be thankful, because when we are thankful, again, we acknowledge where that peace comes from. In Romans 5:1, we have this great passage of Scriptures. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 14 through 18, a little bit longer passage description, but let me read it for you. It says, "For he is our peace, who made both groups into one and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall by abolishing in his flesh the enmity, which is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so that in himself he might make the two into one new man, establishing peace, and might reconcile them both in one body to God through the cross, by it having put to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to you who were far away, and he preached peace to those who were near. For through him we both have our access in one spirit to the Father." Now, it's a long, lengthy passage of scripture, but what Paul is explaining here is you know, there was, again, a division in the early church, I mean, in the mindset, especially of the Jews. There were the Jews and there were everyone else. That was the division. And the Jews had the covenant and they had circumcision and they had all these things, and that's what made them right with God as far as they were concerned. The Gentiles did not have that and could not have that ability to come to God. But through Jesus Christ, both groups, the Jews and the Gentiles, have been made into one body and have access to Jesus Christ. And he's talking about those who are far off. Well, unless you're Jewish, that's us. You know, unless you're Jewish, that is us. But he called us together with those who are Jews, who believe in Jesus Christ. Through Jesus Christ, we are one. And we have access to the Father through one Spirit. And so we have this peace again. And we have this unity that only comes through Christ. We need to be thankful. Ephesians 4, 3 through 6. It says, "Being diligent, preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." Bond of peace. "There is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all." One. There's not a lot of ways to peace. There's not many roads to peace. The old adage, all roads lead to Rome, you know that's not true. It's not, you know, I guarantee you get on the Palouse Highway, you're not going to end up in Rome. You're going to end up in Palouse. Palouse is a far distance from Rome. They're not even alike, you know. As dumb as that sounds, it's the same thing. If you put your faith or trust in anything else but Jesus Christ, you're not going to find your way to God. You're not going to have that peace that transcends all understanding. You're not going to find what you want. It's only through Jesus Christ and the peace that comes through Jesus Christ. We have that peace. If you have Jesus Christ, be thankful. Be thankful. Being thankful is part of that peace. If you're not a thankful person, if you're not grateful, you are not going to experience peace in your life. The second verse what we're going to look at, Colossians 3:16, tells us that it talks about the word of Christ and thankfulness. It says, "Let the word of Christ richly drool. No R in that, is there? Okay. "Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, and all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God." the Word of Christ. How thankful are we for the Word of God? How thankful are we for the Word of God? You know, this leads us to salvation. Now, this doesn't give us salvation, but it leads us to salvation. It points us to salvation. It points us to Jesus Christ. And Paul is saying here that this word should not be on our shelves. It doesn't say let the word of Christ sit on your shelf in your home. It doesn't say that. It says the word of Christ should richly dwell in your hearts, but not just stuffed in your heart and never coming out of your mouth. But it talks about we need to have the word in us, the word that is ability, that has the ability and the power to bring us to the Lord, to show us what we need to do, that we are to have that word in our heart. But then it goes on so that we can teach and admonish one another, but with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in our hearts. And I wonder sometimes when we do our praise singing, are we thankful or are we just going through the motions? Or do we just like to hear ourselves sing? You know, occasionally, I don't have the greatest voice in the world, but I like to listen to me sing. And I guess that's kind of weird. Because again, like I said, this isn't that good, but then in my ears, it's beautiful. You know, but it's like, am I singing to hear myself sing? Am I hearing singing so that other people can be impressed by my voice or my talent or my skill or even my ability to remember songs or whatever? Or am I singing with thanksgiving in my heart? Am I talking to people and sharing with people with thanksgiving in my heart, with an attitude of thanksgiving, with a deep down thankfulness or gratitude in my heart for the Lord? Is that my approach even when I come to worship? Am I coming here to see my friends? It's not a bad thing to see your friends. Am I coming here because, well, you know what? My folks took me to church ever since I was, well, little Macy May's age. I was in church. Now, I guarantee you, Macy May is not going to remember this trip to church. She's not. But she's going to remember a lot of other times that Mom and Dad are going to bring her to church, and she maybe didn't want to come. Because I remember those times. The Wonderful World of Disney was on Sunday nights, and we had evening church, and it was horrible. You know, if only I could get sick on Sunday nights, but it wasn't convenient to do so. So I didn't do that. But, so, you know, but when we come here, it's like, I am so thankful that God got me through this week. I am so thankful for what God has done for me this week. Now, I'm not saying you all had great weeks. I've had better weeks than this week. And I'm going to guarantee you the next 2 weeks the school play is going on. And I'm going to find very few things to be thankful for in the next 2 weeks. But you know what? There are so many things to be thankful for that I can count on even right now that are going to happen in the next 2 weeks. You know, do I let the Word of God so richly dwell in me that thanksgiving just comes out? Because if I have the Word of God living in me, I will be a thankful person. Because the Word of God talks about being thankful. And if it's in me, and it's living in me, and it's living through me, then I will be thankful. Colossians 4:2, we've already read this, but devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. With an attitude of thanksgiving. Ephesians 5:18-20. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is dispensation. but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your hearts to the Lord, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to God, even the Father. You know, I've heard a lot of people say, you know, well, I don't need to go to church. I don't need to go to the worship service. All that singing stuff and the praise stuff, you know, that. I just want to be in God's Word. I just want to be in God's Word. I just want to hear about what the Scripture has to say. Well, this is what the Scripture has to say. It says that we are to speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord. That sounds an awful lot like worship to me, doesn't it? So can we live without that? Well, not according to the Scriptures, we can't. We need to come here and we need to share with one another. And part of this too is just sharing with one another the thanksgiving, the gratefulness that we have in our hearts for our Lord Jesus Christ. And then the last verse that in this little section here talks about life in Christ and giving thanks. Colossians 3:17, it says, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Living our life in Christ with an attitude of thanksgiving. Whatever you do in word and deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks through him to God the Father. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. In everything, give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And then the last little, I just kind of take it, bits of wisdom for life, is in Ephesians 4:6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Thanksgiving. With thanksgiving in your heart. Like your prayers. We need to live a life of giving thanks. That needs to be part of our moral fabric. That needs to be part of our everyday life. Not a Sunday thing. Not a November thing, not a Thanksgiving Day thing, but an everyday thing. We need to live our lives. Everything we do needs to be focused around God and giving thanks to God for what he has done. Now, our time of sharing thanks is going to be short this morning. I'm going to give you more opportunity as we go on. The next couple Sundays, but I'm going to have the praise team come up to get us ready for our time around the Lord's table. And while they're coming up, I'm going to ask you guys to share. And I'm not going to hand around the microphone because I just want you to kind of keep it short, but I just would like you to say, what are you thankful for this morning? What are you thankful? What has God done for you this morning that you can share with us? And go ahead and think about that for a second. And I'll get out of the praise team's way. And I'm going to start you off. Get you thinking a little bit, but I'm going to start you off. And I said it last time, but I'm going to say it again. Because I really am. I'm thankful for my family, my church family. Now, I have a great family too, and I talk about them. They say too much, because a lot of times it's kind of like some sermon illustrations. And I'm thankful that they're willing to let me do that on occasions. But I'm thankful for you. You're my family. I can't imagine not seeing you guys for an extended period of time. I can't. You're so good to myself and to Melissa and my family. You've been so good. And I want to thank God for you. I don't want you guys to get all puffed up for your good fun. You're not that great. but I do want to give thanks to God for you and for the love that I feel and that my family feels. Now, again, I said I just wanted to use a couple words. I'm the pastor, so I embellish. But just what do you think before? You don't have to stand up, but speak loudly. The first one's always hard.
I'll echo that, too, because, I mean, I'm so thankful for you guys as a family. Moving here from Michigan and Illinois and such, our family's still way over there mostly, so and you guys have definitely become our family, and we are very thankful for that. And just some random acts, even just some, the random cards, the whoever paid for the starter for my pickup, thank you. I have no idea who that was, but thank you for that. And it's just amazing, just again, God's blessings. And just thankful for you.
Pastor, I was going to say the same thing, that I appreciate everybody that's put the effort to come to church. The praise team, the people, the Sunday school teachers, and things that have put an effort into keeping the Lord's word going and alive. And all through the ministries, it's really been wonderful. And the joy the Lord gives the person when they see their friends. And
well, thank everybody who prayed for our son Gordon, who served in the Middle East and is now back. My dress hold up.
I just want to say I'm thankful for this, my new church family, too, and for your prayers. They are answered daily and I'm so
as September 20th here in here, I was getting pretty nervous for a long set. We still had a vacancy. And the wife of the Lord filled, and then we needed two more, and it showed up in 1 week. And right now, I still have someone else that I can contact. Dick is the one that helped us, so I just thank you for that.
And remember, all these things you're going to God. Balcony, you're not excluded just because you sit up there. So if you chop it out, he's my guest.
I'm going to just say I'm so thankful for, you heard it before by Sigatar here, but our son being back in this area after 5 long years for me. And just seeing God work in his life, getting here safely was huge. And we just found out this week that the family that he's, the cheapest one to fly in the area, well, they're Asian Christians. He's going to church with us. It's really thankful. Those God works. Thanks.
First of all, I'd like to thank you for the church, for the scripture and the word we proclaimed from the pulpit, for the friends in the church, the family, the community, our family. And I thank you, Father, for the nation, our country, that we have the freedom to worship and not be concerned about others coming in and shutting us down. I thank the Lord for taking it, saving me and forgiving me for my sin. And I thank you for every day that I can live for him. And I thank you for the many blessings that he gives me each day. And praise the Lord for everything he's done for me.
And I'm also thankful to have him back, and I'm thankful for
I'm going to call it time out for today. And but each Sunday, the next two Sundays, we're going to be sharing things. So be thinking about it. Be thinking about it. Because we need to be people of thanksgiving. And of course, the one thing that we need to be so thankful for every moment of our day is what our Lord Jesus Christ has done for us. You know, even though we didn't deserve it, and yes, deacons, go ahead and come on down. Even though we didn't deserve it, Jesus Christ died on the cross so that we might have life everlasting, we might have that peace that we talked about. And this came at a great personal cost for him to die, literally to die on a cross and to have take the sins of the world upon him. And that's something that no one else could have done for us. If Jesus Christ had not done it, we would not be saved. We would not have hope. We would not have peace. We would not have a future. But because Jesus died on the cross, we have that hope, we have that peace, and we do have the future. And when we gather here at the Lord's table, what we are doing is, each and every one of us, we are recognizing what Jesus Christ has done for us. And this is a table of also of thanksgiving. That Jesus Christ, that we are thankful that Jesus Christ was willing to do this. And so we invite all of you who know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and truly understand what Jesus Christ has done for us to gather here with us at the table and to partake in the Lord's table. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Those words seem so simple and yet so profound. Thank you for dying on the cross for our sins. You're the only one who could have done that for us. And even though there was really nothing desirable in us, because of your great love and compassion, we have salvation through Jesus Christ. Lord, as we partake in the table this morning, may we do so with a heart and with an attitude of thanksgiving, totally realizing what it is that you have done for us and what the price that you paid for us. Lord, thank you that we can come to your table. Thank you that we can partake in it. And Lord, as we do, I just pray, Lord, that you would help us to truly understand what Jesus Christ did for each and every one of us. Pray this in his name. Amen.